Live from the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
It's me, OJ Mahomes.
This is Jumbo Jumbo.
We are dressed as the devil.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five, number five.
I'm sure Adam Hill loves it when we talk about how he's a jack of all trades. He covers everything for the paper. This is one of those weekends where I know that you are genuinely disappointed to be covering the Raiders. I'll put words in your mouth. And that you're not on the UFC beat in New York. You'd want to be there, right? This is a cool fight and an interesting event to cover with Diaz and Masvidal for the for the BMF belt.
Yes.
The baddest bad mofo belt.
Yeah, baddest mofo belt, which was unveiled today.
How'd it look?
It's very dark and ominous. Okay. It's not like a, not a very shiny object. I think that was done on purpose. Dana White said it reminds him of the Raiders, which I guess was just my worlds colliding yet again. I would certainly like to be in New York. I think this is a spectacle. They're building a main event headlining fight that a lot of people are excited about at Madison Square Garden around a non-title fight, which is not something that they would have done, I think, in the past. Now, of course, as you say...
Let's say this is what makes the UFC unique, that belts are important, but they're not the end-all, be-all. Everything doesn't have to be built around the belt, and you could have popular fighters that fans want to see, and this is a showdown that fans want to see. By the way, we never got an update on what happened with Nate Diaz. A week ago, we were talking about this fight going down in flames because he had been flagged. He threw out a weird allegation that he was flagged, but the person he talked to said, you know what, let's not talk about it. Let's just let the fight go on. Whatever happened with that?
Well, what really happened, and Nate Diaz isn't the, he's not the greatest, at relaying exactly what happens in certain situations.
Not a primo communicator.
No, that's fair. Neither am I, obviously, because I just didn't. You said it much better than I did. What happened was his test was flagged by USADA. Since August, there's been different protocols in place for certain banned substances. Where if you have a certain amount, less than a certain amount, it's an abnormal test that requires investigation. It's not a failed test. Which before, any trace amount of any substance was just a failed test. Now they've kind of passed different standards. And what they were telling him is, hey, look, we're investigating this. We're going to get to the bottom of exactly what's going on. In the meantime, you don't have to acknowledge it publicly. Because one of the problems they've had in the past is guys have acknowledged they've had failed tests. And then all of a sudden, the investigation is done. They found a tainted supplement or a trace amount in something that they had taken. It's not a failed test, but everybody labels them as a cheater. So basically, they said, you don't have to talk about this publicly. We're doing the investigation. When we investigate it and come to a conclusion, then we'll make the announcement. Or we won't. If there's not a failed test, we don't have to, put it out there. But basically, you're not suspended. Nothing's going on. We're just investigating further to figure out the source of this failed test. And he just decided to go, hey, look, they said I failed a test. This is what's going on. And then they had to rush the investigation and the protocols forward. So this was implemented in August. They haven't really talked much publicly except for one meeting in California, which if you want to go watch a video from about 3 weeks ago, I'm sure nobody does. But what they said is, hey, this is a new thing that we've discovered. The testing is to the point where we understand, a lot of these different contaminations and a lot of the different levels of substances don't meet the threshold of what guys should be suspended for. So this is just a step forward that we've implemented, and then we're going to announce a whole new policy probably in the next couple of months. They had to kind of rush that process forward because Nate Diaz decided to just go ahead and blow it all up. In the meantime, I think one of the more interesting parts of that is that Jorge Masvidal was under the impression the fight was canceled. He started ordering pizzas and hot fries. And he said his dad ratted him out, called the coaches. The coaches came over. They canceled his Uber Eats account, and then he couldn't order anything anymore. That's one of my favorite parts of this whole thing.
That's awesome.
But, yeah, he did eventually stop ordering pizzas. He can't get Uber Eats now. It's turned off. And the fight will go on as planned tomorrow, which I think should be a really fun fight. It's a good card. It would have been a very disappointing card if that fight wasn't there headlining it. But as it goes, it's a really good card with a great headliner. I think a lot of people are excited about it, and it's part of a huge combat sports weekend.
We're going to make picks for the other fights in the grab bag. Nate Diaz is the biggest name on the card. He's much bigger to casual fans than Jorge Masvidal. Why is he going to lose this fight? He's the dog here, plus 135.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Masvidal has been on a tear, certainly his last two wins. The win over Darren Till, in which he was definitely expected to lose. He was kind of fed to Darren Till in that fight, and the UFC was trying to push Darren Till. That was a really impressive performance that he came out on top. And then, obviously, the five-second knockout of Ben Askren, I don't really count that as some kind of dominant performance, but it certainly was a highlight reel one that showed that he's just on a different level. Nate Diaz is a guy that he doesn't get a lot of respect with the odds makers necessarily. He's just a guy that goes in there and finds ways. I thought it was a really good chance to bet against him against Anthony Pettis. He came out and won that fight. Certainly the win over Conor McGregor, he could have won both of those fights. He's just a guy that finds ways to win, and you expected him to be really rusty in his last fight. He wasn't. And I think the biggest thing he has going for him in this fight is that he's impossible to finish. And Masvidal will be looking to finish. That's kind of, he's a knockout guy, and it's really tough to finish Nate Diaz. So I think that's where maybe the matchup really plays out, and that can Masvidal find a way to finish him, or will Nate Diaz, endure whatever Masvidal has and then find a way to wear him down?
Next up.
Number four.
Big fight weekend. Well, we think Canelo's in town. Canelo and Kovalev. Interesting matchup. Fighting at 175 pounds. Remember all those times that Canelo was concerned that Triple G was too big?
Yeah.
Well, Canelo weighed in right at 174.5. Kovalev barely got there at 175. What do you make of this fight? And I think you want to suggest that DAZN gets it when it comes to making sure its fight is watched.
Well, I think they also realize that they better. I don't think they want to go head-to-head with the UFC card. So they have come right out and formally said, hey, we will not have them walk to the ring until the Diaz-Masvidal fight is over. So don't worry. If you want to buy both, buy it, because you'll be able to see the whole thing. We're going to hold the fight until that fight is over, which probably not good news for fans on the East Coast necessarily with Diaz-Masvidal. If it goes the distance, it'll probably end somewhere around 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast.
Holy
and
crap.
You won't even have them walk to the ring until then. And if you're here in Vegas, that means 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock.
That's okay in Vegas. But you're right. On the East Coast, you're screwed. You're not going to get to watch a fight until 1:15 in the morning.
You know, it's funny. You're right. I was just thinking in my mind about deadline tomorrow. That's my biggest concern.
Yeah, I'm not concerned.
No chance that fight makes deadline. That's all I'm saying right now. they might not even start until 10 o'clock here. Yeah, and on the East Coast, that fight, now you're talking about going until 2 in the morning, which is crazy. But they do get it, and they know fans want to watch both. And so they're going to hold off on having them walk out to the ring. But I do give Canelo credit. Because I've accused him of trying to duck out of a third fight and not taking the toughest matchups all the time. In this case, he is, because that's a big dude, and I think he's more skilled than Kovalev, but I think Kovalev is a really tough matchup, a bigger guy, a guy that's very dangerous. I give Canelo a lot of credit for taking this fight.
Yep, I heard Graney on the press box this morning suggesting that DAZN finally went to Canelo and they're like, bruh, we're paying you like this gigantic guaranteed money package. Fight somebody. Take a chance. Do something interesting. And this, no doubt, is interesting. Although, that said, he's a minus 350 to minus 385 favorite. Top three stories.
Number three.
Boy, he's handsome, isn't he, Jimmy G? Oh, God. What a game last night. What a game. Four touchdowns. He got a little extra yardage off some wide receiver play, but George Kittle did a nice job for him. Emmanuel Sanders is turning into a real weapon. So Jimmy G was feeling real good after the game. Aaron Andrews is in front of him, and this unfolded.
Big team effort.
8-0. How does that feel?
Feels great, baby.
Happy Halloween right back at you. Thanks so much.
Definitely. No problem.
Now, the great thing was EA was instantly pretty smitten.
Yeah.
She was taken aback. You or I do that, we're getting a smack in the face.
Yeah.
Have you seen anyone come after Jimmy G, calling him a pig? How dare you call a respected female journalist baby?
You know, I really haven't. I expected to. I haven't seen a whole lot of people doing that, which is, you know, a bit surprising. I think in, you know, in retrospect, there's reasons probably why that hasn't really happened yet. But it was a very awkward, weird moment. I think the more interesting one is him walking away from her after doing that and then kind of waving back and winking almost at her.
He waved back and winked, and then he almost concussed himself. Like, I don't know who walked up on him, but a player on the opposition on the Cardinals walked up and, like, banged him right in the face.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy G was, like, so stuck on finishing his convo with EA.
Yeah, he was still shooting a shot as he walked away. Good for him, I guess. It's better than the old lady adult film star he was going after before.
Mm. How about this one? I did see this complaint. Someone on Twitter said, why is it cute when Jimmy G does it? Uh-oh. Why is it cute when Jimmy G does it, but creepy when Namath does it? Go ahead, Adam.
I think the age and the drunkenness would be a factor.
And I truly believe Namath, had Susie Colbert not been, showed incredible dexterity, I think he would have gotten a kiss in. He was going in for the kiss.
Oh, no question. Yeah, that was borderline assault.
This person also said, after, you know, Namath got mocked on, he says, hypocrites, this proves if you're good looking and you have money, you can get away with S.
I mean, is anybody disputing that? I think the good looking part is the more, I think that's the more relevant factor here.
Namath has money.
Right.
He's 100, and, he had his day when he was able to smash EA types.
But it shouldn't.
It's Broadway Joe. You're gone, buddy. Jimmy G has taken over.
But it's almost like people are saying, like, wow, that's a couple that actually makes some sense. Jimmy G and Aaron Ed, that's okay. Well, it shouldn't be okay. It shouldn't.
I mean, you should stand up, and maybe you should virtue signal a little bit. Why didn't you stand up for Aaron Andrews?
I am right now.
Okay. By the way, we did get a request from someone who was a topic yesterday.
I know.
Ari, why did you not answer?
Oh, I've just been so busy.
Did you not see it?
I saw it, and I was thinking about it, and then I got busy, honestly.
We talked about Seth Davis, the mostly annoying college basketball analyst, and we mentioned that, you know, I love the term virtue signal, and you hate it. But he's one of those guys, like, you'll see when something sad happens or he needs to stand on a pedestal and point down at people. To me, that's kind of virtue signaling, like, I'm a good person. And Ari decided to tweet out our conversation and actually tag Seth Davis. And, like, I don't know, it was like 11 o'clock Vegas time. He tweeted at our ESPN Las Vegas account. And he's like, what's virtue signaling?
Yeah, I know he did because it popped up on my timeline while I was covering the Golden Knights game last night. And I typed up a tweet, which wasn't actually typing a tweet at all. I just hit respond and typed the definition, like a link to the definition of it. And then I just decided not to hit send.
Why?
It's just not worth it.
I want him to listen to find out.
I didn't want a virtue signal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Top two stories.
Number two.
I think this is going to be amazing. This is going to be amazing. You saw my objectivity 2 minutes ago on Joe Namath, a legendary Jet. I can still be objective. You know I'm a Jets fan. Adam Hill does not like Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't like Danica Patrick. He really doesn't like Aaron Rodgers plus Danica Patrick.
That's true.
Are you saying they nailed it on Halloween?
I mean, they did a good job.
He can't do it. Like, listen to him.
It was fine. It was fine.
Yeah.
They were Aaron Rodgers was Uncle Rico, which is kind of funny because, well, first of all, they're dressing up his characters from a movie like 20 years ago, which I do like the movie, but good job. That's fine. Shouldn't it be Gardner Minshew, though? I think he was the Uncle Rico. Maybe that's part of the joke of what Aaron Rodgers is going for here. But, hey, good for him. That was good. And Danica was, I believe her name was Tina in the movie. Mm-hmm. Now, she did a good job, too. The costumes were on point. They were fine. I would say it's kind of weird to be, like, unrelated characters. Like,
that
it wasn't
a little
like
weird.
There were a couple or brother and sister or nothing. Like, they were just two different characters in the movie. That was kind of odd. But I guess good for them. I don't want to go too far with.
I know you don't.
Crediting them. Now I did also see a story that Danica is working diligently to reunite Aaron Rodgers with his family.
Oh God!
Like, that's her mission. No, I don't know if that. I guess good for her. I hope she can make it happen. But the whole thing is just so weird. Did you also see, though, Brian Bulaga and his wife went as Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick?
I did not see it. I'm looking
solid.
Now.
That was solid. I mean, you know, Bulaga is a little bigger than Aaron Rodgers, so it kind of looked weird. But the wife pulled it off pretty well. She was like Danica from the GoDaddy commercial.
Okay.
It was a good costume. I think they were better than Aaron and Danica were.
I think the fact that Danica has a puss on her face all the time, never smiles, to me, she's a shoo-in to go as Belichick.
Okay.
Why not go as Belichick?
That's good.
And then do that like, whatever that sort of smile was when he screwed over the league and Adam Gase by false starting and, you know, not snapping 15 times in a row so he could waste as much time as possible. Danica as Belichick is great.
Well, Belichick wanted to go as the devil.
Wait, are you making that up?
No, we know that from... We know that from the Randy Moss documentary thing that he did.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I just want to see Linda Holiday pictures, I'll tell you that. Belichick's gilfish lady friend. Boy, she's nice. Top story.
Number one.
Wait a second. Did someone actually risk criticism of the Patriots' defense? Hello. Rodney Harrison. Listen to this guy just slam New England. He says the Patriots' defense has, quote, some vulnerabilities.
Whoa.
Shots fired.
Triggered. Here we go.
I mean, doesn't everyone have vulnerabilities?
Not the Patriots.
Doesn't mean you can take advantage of them.
Why are you hating Rodney Harrison? What's the problem?
He's going to find something to say. Like, what are you going to say? Like, what you really should say is, hey, they haven't played anybody. Let's see when they start playing some real teams how their defense is. But their defense has been unbelievable.
But you know, when you say that fact, and it is a fact, like if you go to strength of schedule, the Patriots' strength of schedule sucks. But if you say that, Patriots fans freaking melt down.
Of course they do.
So what do you think about what R.J. Bell was saying about 20 minutes ago about Belichick and what his likely plan is against the Ravens, which is, I guess it would be the line, who was it? The Packer cornerback had the line in game one of the season about Mitch Trubisky. What'd he say? We decided to make him play quarterback.
Right.
So R.J. was suggesting that Belichick, you know, will take away your strength, and in the case of the Ravens, the strength is Lamar Jackson running the ball, Mark Ingram running the ball, my guy Gus Edwards running the ball. So stop the run and make Lamar Jackson pass. Now, on the flip side of that, Earl Campbell, if he were picking this game, this is a weird segue. There's no segue.
He'd pick the Ravens.
Legendary running back Earl Campbell says, did he pick the Ravens? Well, he says, did he actually say this straight out?
Yes.
About college football?
College and pros.
This is great. Tell the audience.
He said that he believes that Texas needs to have a black quarterback in order to win. He said, until the University of Texas realizes you have to have a black quarterback, and nothing against Ellinger, you got to have a talented black quarterback. All these schools that are winning, even the pros, have black quarterbacks. When guys are not open, something can still happen. He mentioned, by the way, he did include who's the top quarterback in college football right now on the top team? He included Tua in there.
Oh, he did? Good.
Yeah, he did. Tua.
Person of color.
Tua, Jalen Hurts, Deshaun Watson, JT Barrett, Vince Young. I mean, I don't know. Vince Young isn't winning right now. Wow. He said all those guys are the ones that are winning. I mean, I don't know why you don't include Mahomes. That's a weird one.
Yeah.
It's just a whole weird way to get there. I'm surprised that he hasn't taken more criticism, but I also understand why, because everybody wants the Steve virtue signal.
Sure.
They only want to...
Who's gonna go against him?
Right, exactly.
First of all, it's silly.
Yeah.
He should say, you know, Texas needs a more versatile quarterback who poses a better run threat, right? Frankly, Earl Campbell should have mentioned Josh Allen. Josh Allen, well, he might not have been a great Texas quarterback, but Josh Allen, as I've called him many times, is white Vince Young.
True.
Right? Same skill set. And I think we need to erase that stuff. But, you know, a turnaround, or whatever the term is fair play, because for how many years did, and I still think it exists in some organization, for how many years did scouts, and sadly Bill Polian even fell victim to this a couple of years ago, how many years did we have scouts say, you know, quarterbacks, African-American quarterbacks couldn't play just basically based on their appearance? It's completely ridiculous. This is a weird side note. Have you seen Earl Campbell recently? Like, he's not in great health.
No. And that's why I'm willing to forgive a little bit of that.
Yeah, he's a giant individual. He's in a wheelchair most of the time. Okay, is this going to be a virtue signal? Because I'm doing it on air. I didn't tweet it out because I could have taken a picture of it and said this. I was at Smith's, which, by the way, I don't know if you heard during the week, they're taking the credit cards again, so let's go.
So you're back?
Yep, I'm back. And I was looking around at hot sauce and barbecue sauce, and Earl Campbell has a line of barbecue sauce. I was actually going to buy it because I was like, I don't think he's doing well. Is that stupid logic?
Probably. Yeah.
But then part of me was like, man, he has barbecue sauce, so I guess he's not doing that poorly.
Well, is somebody like just using his name, though?
Well, he's got to get something out of it. You think he cut some crap deal? It's Earl Campbell. He's one of the greatest running backs in NFL and college football history.
Well,
is he getting like a penny on every freaking bottle of barbecue sauce?
Probably been a lot of medical bill issues, too.
Well, then I guess I'll revisit it then. Let's go buy some barbecue sauce, Earl Campbell barbecue sauce.
Only if it's good.
I think it's the right. I don't care if it's good.
I'm going to buy it just to buy it.
No, you got to do it.
Give me some good sauce.
The right thing to do. All right, we go deep divey on the Raiders. They got a big game coming up, a must-win game. This is a winnable game off the 48-day. Imagine it was a 48-game road trip. That's coming up, the NFL. They're like, this one didn't kill them enough. We're going to have them 3 straight years not play in Vegas. We'll get to Miles Simmons from the RJ. He's on the Raiders beat. So is Adam, as they'll hash it out around this Raiders big game against Detroit.
It's the Big 5 at 5, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured, call Justin Watkins at Battle Born Injury Lawyers, 570-9000. Now, back to the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas, for Football Friday on Cofield and Company.
All right, let's get into this Raiders game this weekend against the Lions, two of the best experts in town on the Oakland Raiders. Adam Hill on this show, and of course his cohort at the paper, Miles Simmons, joins us on Cofield and Company. What's up, Miles?
Not too much, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm actually on the road in Fort Collins, so I'm deciding important things like where I'm going to go get a steak, so my life is very difficult. Did you ever get an answer? I saw that you had a locker room discussion with another media member about a Raider that you would like to escort you, I think, into a dark alley to protect you. Who's the biggest badass on the Raiders? What did you guys come up with?
Okay, well, the thing is, you can't pick a guy who's over 300 pounds. That, to me, is like a distinction. Because you don't want to pick a lineman. Like, if you're going to pick somebody, it's obviously Trent Brown because he is massive. So you have to pick somebody who isn't over 300 pounds and a 300-pound lineman. So, I mean, I would maybe say LaMarcus Joyner because he is tall but mighty. And, you know, he knows me for, you know, being at the Rams, and I cover the Rams for a while. So maybe we would be safe that way. But there are a lot of good guys, you know, in there. Like Josh Jacobs, he's also a good one because, you know, he'll run somebody over. But also somebody else brought up the fact that you might want somebody a little bit slower than you just in case things go south. So a lot of good selections there in Walker.
I think Vontaze Burfict is the easy answer. Like, he's just going to destroy anyone.
Vontaze Burfict is also a good nomination, yeah. I'd say Tier Whitehead, another good one. Yeah. Jonathan Abram, as long as his shoulder is okay.
So let's stick with the theme of making you defend your Twitter account. You defended Joe Buck yesterday, which will not fly on the show.
Really? Oh, come on, guys. Give Joe Buck some props. All right, who else do you know is going to call Game 7, and then 24 hours later he's got to call an entire football game, and he didn't get one name wrong. I think he deserves props for that, man.
No,
he does.
He will never get props because of the Randy Moss situation in Green Bay. That will never be lived down. That's it. It's not a disgusting act. He pretended to moon somebody.
Okay, that's fair, but like that was also what, like, 15 years ago at this point, so I think it's time to get over it, Adam.
Don't care. Never going to get over it.
You also misrepresented me. I am not a Joe Buck hater like you are. And also, Adam Hill covers like 6 events a day. Now, he's never on air doing most of these events, but Adam at least can write along the Joe Buck lines with his versatility.
So sure.
We'll kiss his ass a little bit.
That's fair. Okay, last one you have to defend is last night I agreed with somebody making the case Jared Goff is the worst quarterback in the NFC West. You rolled your eyes, or at least in emoji form. How is he not?
Because all you do is, like, you just love to hate on Jared Goff. but there are only two quarterbacks in that division who have taken a team to the Super Bowl, and one of them is Jared Goff. And so I understand that people are all up on Kyler Murray right now, and the 49ers look incredible with Jimmy Garoppolo, but I say they still got some things to prove, and until they do, Jared Goff is still not the worst quarterback in that division. Get out of here.
Fair enough. Who is playing center for the Raiders on Sunday?
That's a great question, Adam. And as of right now, it still could be Richie Incognito. But there are good signs that it could be either one of Rodney Hudson or Andre James. We only got to see Stretch today at practice, but both of those guys were on the field. I mean, Rodney Hudson and Andre James. And so those guys are both listed as questionable. John Gruden said that they are giving the Raiders everything that they have, but they are still very sore. So we'll see. It might come down to whether or not those guys can really get through a good solid pregame workout and still say, all right, we can play on these ankles. But yeah, at this point, it still could be Richie Incognito. We're just not sure.
How much do you think that impacts the line if it is Incognito?
Well, I think it impacts it a lot. I mean, Rodney Hudson is one of the best centers in the league, and he hadn't missed a snap since 2015. You got to go all the way back there, and he played literally 100% of the snaps from 2016 until last week, when he suffered that ankle injury. So I think if you're saying that, if Rodney Hudson is saying he can't go, this thing is pretty serious in terms of his pain and the tolerance that he just obviously can't do it. And obviously we don't know as much about Andre James, but look, he played pretty darn well, I thought, last week, just being in there and getting all the calls done. The Raiders still didn't give up a sack. They haven't given up a sack three games, so I think that tells you how well Andre James played. But if Richie Incognito has to go in there, then you're talking about a guy who hasn't played center in the league in years, and you know that to me is a big deal. I know he's still a veteran. I know that you have a lot of faith in him. He knows the playbook. But look, whenever there's a guy, and listen, the train doesn't like it either. Whenever there's a guy who has not played a position for a long time, and then you got to insert him in there, it could be bad news there.
Miles Simmons covers the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review Journal. Follow him on Twitter at Miles A. Simmons, although he puts out nonsense all the time, so you don't really have to. Also, get that Vegas Nation app. Check out all the stuff up there. Okay, we talked about the offensive line a bit. The receivers were, you know, they're starting to get healthier. Tyrell Williams was back on the field last week, scored a touchdown, as he's done in every single game that he's played. They're still looking for playmakers. Were you surprised that the Raiders were not the team that claimed Josh Gordon today?
No, because who needs that headache? Haven't you had enough headaches with wide receivers already this season with just Antonio Brown? And I think the other part of it is that you've already traded picks for both Zay Jones and Trevor Davis. And why would you want to give somebody who has proven that he's not reliable and may not be available for you? Why would you want to give him snaps when you can get these other guys snaps that have already been in your system and that you've already invested in? I think that it was a good move to pass on him, although I also think it was a pretty darn good move for Seattle to claim him, especially just given the way that division is set up right now. That could be a huge move for them, and that's honestly one of the better targets that Russell Wilson has ever had, if you take away Doug Baldwin from the equation especially.
Brandon Marshall, Las Vegas, certainly known and loved here in this town, is back with the Raiders. How much of an impact do you expect him to have?
I don't know. It's a good question, because the Raiders have had a lot of fluctuation at linebacker. And so I was talking to Tier Whitehead this week, and he said, you know, he takes a lot of pride in being that glue guy and the guy who has really been there for the last 2 years. And now he's wearing the green dot, and he's a captain on defense, so he takes a lot of pride in that. He said that he felt like Brandon Marshall looked as good as, you know, ever. He looked in the offseason program, and, you know, he was also coming back from a knee injury during that offseason program. But I think when you have a guy who's been really on the street since the end of training camp, and then you ask him to come in and play right away, you're probably not going to get that much out of him. If the Raiders have that's where they need to go with three linebackers, that's where you might see him. But otherwise, I think that you'll still probably see Nicholas Morrow alongside Tier Whitehead as the two primary linebackers.
Did you get some honest answers from Derek Carr this week?
Uh, Maybe. I mean, he always talks about saying, he always talks about how he wants to be honest with us, right? I think Derek Carr believes what he says. I do. And so there's a lot of times where you can maybe like raise your eyebrow at something, but I really do think he's being genuine in what he is saying. And, you know, good for him.
So should we expect more deep shots down the field?
That's a good question. Maybe, depending on what kind of coverage they play. If the Detroit Lions play a lot of man coverage, as they can, then probably. That's what the Raiders have seen in the last couple of weeks, and that's why they've been taking more of those downfield shots, because you have more of those one-on-one opportunities. But if the Detroit Lions, say, do what they did against the Los Angeles Rams last year, and I covered that game, and they sit back, they play a lot of zone, they play a lot of cover four, then that's going to take a lot of those deep shots away, and then Derek Carr might be accused of becoming Charlie Checkdown because he's going to be taking what the defense gives him, and that's what's going to be the underneath stuff. And if they play a lot of zone, then, yeah, you're going to probably see a lot more Darren Waller than you saw last week. But I think the Raiders have to get Darren Waller more involved than they got him last week. It's not that necessarily the targets weren't there, but just in terms of catching the ball, you got to make sure Darren Waller, who's been one of your two best players on offense, continues to be one of the two best players on offense with Josh Jacobs.
Raiders host the Lions on Sunday, 1:05 on the game time. They are just under a field goal favorite in this game. What do the Raiders have to do to even their record of 500 and get a win over the Lions this week?
Control the ball, control the clock. We know the Raiders' identity. They want to run the ball really well. They want to win time of possession. You want to see Josh Jacobs at maybe 25 to 30 touches on the day and get him over 120 yards from scrimmage. That if they do that, they're going to have a good chance to win. And that is something that may be tougher than you would like, because, look, the Detroit Lions are going to come in and they're probably going to throw the ball around, A, because that's just their MO, and B, because the Raiders are not really that great at pass defense. They haven't been over the course of the season. So if the Detroit Lions can make this shootout, that might be a problem for the Raiders, just because they've not shown that they can hit those outside routes and hit those outside receivers with any kind of consistency. So if the Raiders can make it one of those tough defensive games where you got to slug it out, then the Raiders will probably win. If it's a shootout, then it's probably going to be the Lions game.
We will find out Sunday up in Oakland. Miles Simmons will be there covering it, as will I. Follow him along on Twitter at Miles A. Simmons and at the Review Journal. Vegas Nation app, you can find all of the Review Journal's Raiders coverage. Thank you, sir. We'll see you Sunday.
Yes, sir. See you Sunday.
There you go. Miles Simmons, Raiders Report, brought to you by Dustin DeHart, Nova Home Loans. You got to call him today, 577-2600. He's helped thousands of clients get the best home loan possible. And then, hey, when it's time to refinance, he gets you into a better one. You need a second opinion on a quote that you have now, or get that mortgage tune-up. Get it done by Dustin DeHart. He can get you lower rates, cut time off your loan. His number is 577-2600. It's Nova Home Loans, Dustin DeHart.
Hit up Cofield & Company on Facebook, like ESPN Las Vegas. Cofield & Company presents...
Hey, hold on. Bagel.
Grab bag.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
There you go. Adam, what's the update on that possible felon, dirtbag, Irishman, Conor McGregor? Is one incident down, making it easier for him to come to the United States on January 18th to fight?
Yeah, the incident in the bar in Dublin, the punching of the old guy sitting on the stool, has been settled. He pled guilty to a charge, no jail time, 1,000, I believe it's euro, pound, I'm not sure what the, it's $1,100 basically is the equivalent. That's the fine, and no jail time. He can just move on. And you know, the Conor's team made it very clear in court. The biggest thing was they didn't want to impact his travel potential, and the judge agreed. The thing that did come out, it was his 18th conviction in Dublin, but I guess it's handled differently over there. A lot of that is speeding tickets, traffic violations, everything else. But still, that's a lot of cases.
You think?
Yeah.
Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Yeah, Conor McGregor coming to a bar near you to punch you. I found this question from someone I follow, Jeremy Sickle. Not really sure where I know him from or why I follow him, but he has good stuff. This is a question for Adam Hill, and I kind of felt guilty about this, so you know my answer. Do you say goodbye to your pets when you leave your house?
I mean, why would you even ask me this?
Do you?
Are you kidding?
Well, you have two dogs. Where are the dogs when you leave? Are they downstairs?
Do you go around the house to find them? No, they come right to the door.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. And they're disappointed if they don't get a treat on the way out the door, too. Steve, I tuck them in. There's no way I'm not saying goodbye when I leave the house.
You have to say goodbye?
What are you kidding? I mean, it's
just different.
It's a whole process. It takes like 10 minutes to leave the house.
You're a psycho. You have dogs. I'm not a psycho. I have cats. It would also take me a good 5 minutes to find the cats.
True.
Because you know how they are.
Well, it would be rude. I mean, they run to the door as I leave. It'd be rude to not say goodbye, right?
I guess.
They know what you're saying.
You're a weirdo.
They definitely understand. They get it.
Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
This is where you start to lose me. You know, all right, I'll just admit it. I'm old. TMZ reports something that calls itself Phase Banks. Ever hear of this thing?
Actually, no.
Okay. Phase Banks trashed Vegas hotel room. Where was it? Encore, October 13th, Bender, $30,000 in damage. Smashed tables, windows, TVs. As it says, smashed everything. $30,000. They're already working on restitution.
Are you sure it's phase? Because the Z is capitalized. I'm thinking it's like a Faze or something.
You think so? See, I already screwed it up.
No idea.
Esports megastar.
A vlogger. No vlogger and YouTuber. I have no idea who this person is.
No freaking idea.
He's known for his Call of Duty posts on both YouTube and other gaming portals.
Back in there.
Good for him.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Well, you know I trend old. And when it comes to Vegas, and Vegas ain't that old, but it seems like the 70s and 80s, like I got here in 96, it seems like the 70s and 80s are just, it's a whole world away. The folks over at Gaming Today sent out a great clipping from one of their, I guess back in the day it was called the Sports Forum. Did you see this ad?
Oh, yeah.
It says Circus Circus Hotel and Spa. I assume it's the same Circus Circus?
Sure.
The ad is this supposed to be spelled incorrectly? It says Japanese-type baths by attractive bath girls.
Okay.
Package includes a Japanese geisha girl-type bath. Like how they're just type, a lot of type.
Yeah.
By one of our attractive... Boy, there are so many misspellings in this. What is going on, form? Given by one of our attractive female attendants. Three whirlpools, steam, and massage. Regular price, $22. Bring in the coupon, you get $3 off.
Sounds like a great deal.
It sounds basically like, for some reason, we move this stuff off the strip over to Spring Mountain. Why don't we just bring it back? Do you know what kind of business those places would do in casinos?
I think it would do very well.
But am I taking a leap of faith here? I mean, that's what that is, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure, only because of the times.
Oh, like, I think it's even more possible with the times. It was truly Sin City back then.
No, I don't mean the times of when it happened. I'm saying it was open 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Like, I feel like if you're doing what you're insinuating here, it's more of a late night thing. Not that there's a bad time for it, but...
I think that 10-hour shift, you could get things done.
Sure, but I feel like if you're actually going to go all out, like, you should extend the hours a little bit.
First thing I thought of was, for folks who don't know radio advertising, there are times we'll do deals that, you know, are like 80% cash, 20% trade, right? Yeah, a little... And I was I wasn't really joking with anyone specific, but I'm like, well, this is the one time that it's the
trade.
Salesperson came in. They're like 10% cash, 90% trade,
99%.
Yeah, I feel like I know at least one person at that publication who would be like, sure,
many.
Yeah, I'll take the trade over at the Circus Circus Japanese type baths by attractive girls.
Who wouldn't?
You got to turn a profit too.
Very annoyed that FaZe has 2.5 million Twitter followers.
Faze? FaZe?
Faze, whoever he is.
We're back tomorrow. UNLV football midday, 12:30 kickoff, and then Sunday morning, Westgate, Superbook USA for the Sunday football preview show.